You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
It's a three-pitch strikeout of Lowe, a three-pitch strikeout of Duran. An immaculate inning! Nine-pitch, three-strikeout. Rarely happens in baseball. Luis Garcia, an immaculate inning and a fist pump. He did it!
That was incredible!
You've got to be kidding me! Two immaculate innings.
Two of them.
In one game. That has to be a new major league mark. That could not have ever happened before. Phil Maton is thrilled as he walks off the mound. Luis Garcia just got matched by Maton. Same three guys. Unreal.
Happens twice to the same three guys. That's unbelievable.
Now he's smiling. There we go. The normally stoic Phil Maton cracks a smile.
That is so great. Wow.
So unbelievable, perhaps, the fix was in from those three Rangers hitters. 713-780-3776. This is Speak for Your Pizza. No Vanessa and Gallant today. No Vanessa. No Paul. I am Hot Take Harry. Just kidding. It is me, Paul Gallant. It is Vanessa and Gallant. Vanessa's getting her eyes looked at up in Indianapolis, some LASIK surgery. I had no idea that that was a historic event. And I want to give, again, a lot of credit to Todd Callis and to Jeff Blum and the entire Astros broadcast, because I thought that guys got struck out on nine pitches routinely in baseball. I figure this happens all the time in high school, Pony League, college, the minors. Nope, apparently it never happens. Yeah, this is one of the most rare occasions that you will actually see in baseball, to a point where it's actually more rare than a perfect game, just based off of the sheer amount of times that it could happen. We've seen 106 in the history of the game. 106. We've seen, what, 26 perfect games in the history of baseball. But when you factor in the amount of games that have been played in baseball history and the amount of innings that have been played in baseball history, there have been far more innings than there have been games, right? So just by that logic, this is an incredibly rare event that took place. And I guess I'm really excited about it. I guess. But it was funny to see Luis Garcia and Phil Maton being like, oh, is this historic? Oh. And I hope that they're able to sell those balls and get some money for it, right? I feel like if you're a player and you're involved in some massive thing, you should be able to like rob some of these weird collectors that buy these things for like $50,000 and take their money. But it's baseball history. It belongs in a museum. Luis Garcia, great start by him yesterday. And look, it was nice to see the Astros wrap up this series against the Texas Rangers after I thought was a very lucky win in the second game of the series and an ugly first performance against them with the kind of win that they had. Six runs in the first inning. Okay, that's what I need more of. Look, if the Astros are to be on brand as the villains of baseball, we need more Death Star innings. We need more innings where this team is going to just absolutely dismember some poor saps the way that they did. They're capable of it. I mean, I don't know that you need this every single game, but it would be much more on brand for this team to be like that. Instead, they're like kind of like the Death Star 2.0, which was bigger, more bloated, but obviously wasn't completed and kind of like sucked.
Ooh, we have a shield around us. It's on a moon that's overrun by little teddy bears. This time we'll beat the Rebel Alliance for sure. We're totally original, doing the same thing we did last time. You know, I don't know. Death Star 2.0, that's kind of where the Astros offense is. Like, you look at them, you're nervous about them, but you're still wondering, okay, well, what the heck's going on? And we saw some promising signs yesterday. I'm hoping that the last couple of games for Yuli Gurriel are a sign that he is waking up. But I did see this from Chandler Rome after the game. Alex Bregman, one of the two guys that we have been pointing at a lot over the last couple of days, 0 for 4, his slash numbers, 214, 331, 363. His OPS is 694 after 215 at-bats. He has 20 extra base hits on the year, 2 months into it, and a 223 batting average on balls in play average. Ugh. It's concerning. I know we've had conversations earlier this year about Jose Altuve. If he's going to be the same player that he's been in years past, if he has passed his prime, which is to say, I mean, anyone who has
led the American League in hits four seasons in a row, and on top of that, led the American League in stolen bases in two of those seasons. It's going to be tough to maintain that level of play forever. But with Alex Bregman now, at what point are we going to start wondering that same question about him, even though he is younger? And I feel for him, and I hope that he turns it around. This is not me rooting against him. I know a lot of people, you point out just facts, and they're going to say, well, you're being a hater. No, I'm concerned that this is not going to be able to fix itself by the end of the year. I mean, this Astros lineup has some very clear weak points, and now that Jeremy Peña is on the injured list with thumb discomfort, and you're seeing it in center field. Jake Myers got I guess put on the 60-day injured list and just continues to make you wonder, wait, how do Astros injuries work? Why are they so secretive, and why does everything seem to go horribly? Do we take a look at the training staff a little bit more closely? Whatever, just speculation right now. But I mean, Martin Maldonado is getting hits. Yuli Gurriel is getting hits. Where are the hits from one Alex Bregman? At what point are things going to fix? And I know we've seen this a couple of times on the Twitch comments and on the text line. Well, he's hitting the ball hard. Great, that's fine. But again, at some point, you're just making excuses. And when we've heard Alex Bregman asked about the Astros offense and their struggles relative to years past, generally, you're going to get, well, just give it time. Just give it time. At what point is enough time given? At what point are we thinking to ourselves, oh, well, maybe this is a position that we have to upgrade? Or at what point is moving Alex Bregman out of the four spot something that you want to have happen? He's in the cleanup spot, and he's batting .214. He's in the cleanup spot, and he is slugging .363. I mean, Alex Bregman, a guy that we, I think about and think about having a great deal of power, that's the lowest mark on the team for guys that are in the everyday lineup. And I'm not going to count Jose Siri or Martin Maldonado, although I probably should, I guess, because they're both in the lineup. But, okay, those two guys, Siri's hitting .195. Slugging .314. Maldonado, slugging .306. But he had a nice game yesterday, and he's had actually a nice couple of weeks at the plate. You look at those pieces of the lineup, and you're like, okay, we know you got to make up for them in some way, shape, or form. But, like, at what point with Bregman are you just going to say to yourself, oh, it's not coming back in the same way? And I feel like people have got to be feeling a little bit more nervous about it by the day, right? Like, this Rangers team sucks. You have a 6-run first inning. You're feeling really, really good. Man, I wonder about it. And I don't know what your alternative is either. I mean, you have him signed to a long-term contract. You're not going to move him elsewhere. You're not going to send him to the minors. He's been a big part of your team, but this is, I feel like, something that should be thought very long and hard about by James Click. Like, do you have an alternative? Does he maybe need a trip to the injured list? We see guys get random rehab assignments from time to time. Is he hurt? Is he 100%? I think that's fair speculation, and I honestly hope that's the reason, because that's really all you can do at this point in time is hope, oh, he's not 100%, but it's been 2 months, and I don't think continuing to play is going to help him anymore. So is that something that Dusty Baker's going to think about? Is that something that James Click is going to think about, saying, all right, we're gonna sit you for a little bit, and not sit you in the embarrassing way where you're getting benched. Sit you in a, hey, we're going to send you to the injured list for a little bit. Because something's got to be up. Like, I refuse to believe that Alex Bregman just all of a sudden is no longer the same guy that we have seen. I would have maybe believed it with Jose Altuve, had Altuve's struggles at the beginning of the year continue the way that they are. I would like some help on this. What are you guys thinking? Because I know some of you are watching him out there, and you're saying, well, he's hitting the ball hard. But what the hell's going on? 713-780-3776. I would really love some swing experts on the phone. We've had them before. I feel like someone was calling out Kyle Tucker for his issues. I think his name was Greg. We like Greg. We like all the callers, by the way. We're not going to make fun of you too much, okay? And I know, sometimes my baseball knowledge is lacking. But I want swing experts calling in right now about Alex Bregman. I want to know what is missing. And a side note, let's call Kyle Tucker not King Tuck anymore, okay? I don't get that. Friar Tuck, much better. Ooh, boy, who's Friar Tuck? Have you ever read Robin Hood? He's part of Robin Hood's Merry Band of Thieves. He is a priest, but guess what? Doesn't believe in taxation. Beats up the sheriff of Nottingham with what? A baseball bat? Over taxation? That's the kind of guy that you would like to have on your team. Friar Tuck makes sense. There has never been a King Tuck. What? We're talking about King Tut? King Tut had a big old butt. That's like the children's rhyme, right? Ooh, wow, what a dirty rhyme. Like, I don't get King Tuck. I think it's a terrible nickname, and it needs to be reevaluated, and that Friar Tuck is better. Thank you. Anyway, Paul Gallant, it's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Paul, you have ADD, throw it a break. Fine, I will. But before I do, I got to tell you about my friends at the Passive Investor Network. You want to invest in something that is going to make you a lot of money. Like, I don't know, trademarking King Tuck. No, just kidding. Trademarking Friar Tuck. Well, you also want to make money through real estate because that's the way to do it these days. That's the only thing that seems to not be completely cratering. Real estate prices continue to go up, and my friends at the Passive Investor Network are going to help you find a way to get real wealth for you and your family. They personalize a five-year plan for you and you alone. And you might be thinking, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to make any commitments, any investments in a five-year plan. I'm not ready. Honestly, I was feeling the same way. But then I talk with these guys, and they walk you through the process of what they can do to help you make money down the road. And what they do is they drive around Houston. They look around Houston for what they think can be an area that they can turn into the next version of right now, the Heights. There's going to be another neighborhood like that in the near future. And you'll go on a bus tour with them, and you can go on Saturday, this coming Saturday, at PassiveInvestor.net. You enter promo code ESPN, and they will walk you through the whole process. And then they'll sit down with you, and they'll talk with you about what a five-year plan for you and real estate investment can look like. PassiveInvestor.net is the website. Promo code ESPN for the bus tour. It is on Saturday. PassiveInvestor.net. Promo code ESPN. It's the Passive Investor Network.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Someone commented with regards to our conversation about the immaculate double play, the immaculate inning that happened twice. Lightning struck twice in the same game yesterday, guys. It's the most historic thing that the Astros have done in quite some time. Seriously, it is. It is incredibly rare to see one immaculate inning in a game. It's only taken place 106 times in baseball history, let alone twice in the same game against the same three batters who maybe were in on a fix, whatever. I don't know. What I do know is that it's super rare. Someone said, come on, bro. It's not more rare than a perfect game. Well, look, just think about it from the sheer odds perspective. There's been 26 perfect games in baseball history, right? Well, how many opportunities over the course of a game are there for a perfect inning? 18, right? Or technically 17 or 18, right? Because we're talking about every single time that the home team pitches, every single time that the away team pitches. There's 18 opportunities for it over the course of a game. So someone put together the math. Joe Doyle. Odds of an immaculate inning, roughly 1 in 40,000. Odds of a perfect game, roughly 1 in 10,000. I believe that makes the odds of two immaculate innings in one game roughly 1 in 1.6 billion. And there's only been 2.1 million innings in baseball history. Yeah, that to me makes sense. What happened was extremely rare, but I don't think anyone understands how rare it was and or how like excited they should be about it. Except for Todd Callis and Jeff Blum. So shout out to them for being excited about it appropriately on that call. Some texts in 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. ESPN. It has to do with the struggles of one Alex Bregman at the plate. Paul, stop worrying about nothing, says Moon Cheese Meat Wallet. What? Just stop worrying about nothing. That's for the 12-3 show. That's for the Killer Bees. I don't know how you could say worrying about Bregman is nothing. And have I not been consistent? There's only been a couple of things that I have been pointing at with the Astros over the last couple of weeks. I mean, they're running away with the division. I think Chandler Rome put out yesterday on his Twitter that the Astros are 7-6 in their last 13 games. And over that stretch, their division lead has increased from 5.5 to 9.5. So, goes to show you that, like, they're not being competed with by anybody. Really, we're going to wait to see what happens against these two New York teams in a couple of weeks, and we're going to wait to see what happens in the playoffs. But I would like to see Alex Bregman figure things out. It's been 2 months. I think you should be a little bit concerned about what's going on with him. I don't know. I mean, am I too negative? I feel like I'm pretty fair in looking at this. His slash numbers are abysmal. And with Yuli Gurriel, that's understandable. Gurriel's old. He's changed his body this offseason. But Gurriel, over the last couple of days, at the very least, has been producing. He got a home run yesterday. He hit a double the day before. You're not concerned about Bregman at all? I don't know. I feel like you're a little crazy or way too calm about it. You might not have that many more opportunities like this to win a World Series. I know, you take a look at the starting rotation. A lot of young arms in that rotation. Luis Garcia looked great yesterday, so that makes you feel good about his future. Framber Valdez, when he is on his A game, looks really good as well. Not feeling it with Jose Urquidy, but you still have Lance McCullers on this team too, and you have him under contract for a while. Your bullpen has been pretty damn good this year outside of the performance that they had on, what was it, Monday against the Texas Rangers. Like, there's a lot of good things to point at with this team and to feel good about going forward, but is not Alex Bregman one of the centerpieces of your team going forward? I mean, the next generation of the Astros hopefully will be Yordan, who you have under contract, Kyle Tucker, too. Alex Bregman has been struggling for much of the last couple of seasons when he has been healthy or when he has been out there. And of course, we did have that stretch. What was it? The beginning of last year, Sean Mapes behind the glass, where he looked awesome. Then he gets hurt. He comes back. And we saw him in the World Series. It was like, oh, the playoffs. What's going on here? It happens. But when it's a prolonged period, you got to have some sort of questions about it. And I wonder what Bregman thinks the issue is. Bregman's just going to tell you the same thing over and over again. Hey, you know, we just got to work through it, blah, blah, blah. That's kind of what most athletes do when they're going through something. But I wonder what is going through his mind right now. Why am I not hitting the way that I can be? Speaking of not hitting, a lot of people think that the Rockets swung and missed when they traded away the great Christian Wood yesterday. And I got to say, if you don't think that that Christian Wood trade was a good trade, you need to really reevaluate how you feel about Christian Wood and why you feel the way that you do about Christian Wood. Were you watching the games? Have you paid attention to his history? Or were you looking at the numbers and you think to yourself, like a lot of people who play Madden or NBA 2K, that you, genius general manager, would have been able to get a lot in return for a 26-year-old who, as Sean Mapes explained to us earlier in the show, has been waived 6 times in his career. He's 26. He's been waived 6 times. The Rockets, amazingly, didn't waive him, but he quit on them in the middle of a game this past season. And you thought that someone was going to trade more than a first-round pick, Boban, and a couple of other rando players. You thought you were going to get more than that for him? No. He is who he is. I think he's a team cancer. I think that anyone like that who is going to quit in the middle of a game is not who you want on this team. You can't handle tough coaching from John Lucas at age 26. Questions about effort? I don't want you. If that's your retaliation, if that's your reaction to something like that, you leave. Or excuse me, you refuse to go back in. Kevin Porter Jr. is the one who drove off. I want you off the team. So I've been of the mindset that Christian Wood doesn't exist since early January with this Rockets team. I thought that was ridiculous. No one talked about it because we were in the midst of football season and the Rockets suck and no one really cares. But that was an embarrassing moment. And you think that you're going to get something in return for that guy? This is a steal. I'll give the Rockets credit for this, considering all the mamby-pamby bending over that they have done for some of their young stars, which I put in massive quotation marks. Jalen Green's the only guy that matters here, and you need to get rid of all of the possible cancer that could potentially leach itself onto him and into his blood on this team. That is Christian Wood. He's gone. Great. Get rid of Kevin Porter Jr. next. Those guys are not good for a young, possible superstar someday. And I'll go back. Like, okay, Christian Wood, you barely saw him play towards the end of the year. Like, why are you upset that they got rid of him? And I'm not saying this is a lot of people, but there are some that are like, oh, you didn't get the necessary value in return. No, you got anything for him. Like, consider yourself lucky. What are the Dallas Mavericks going to get out of Christian Wood? Okay, we'll see in the regular season. I'm sure he puts up numbers. What are they going to get in the playoffs? Oh, all of a sudden, this time he's going to figure it out?
now that he's been through a fourth of the league, this time he's going to get it? Yeah, okay, sure. In the playoffs, I'm sure he's not going to get targeted by other teams on defense. I'm sure he's not going to get mad at Luka Doncic over the course of the game because he believes he is as good as Luka Doncic. I guarantee you he feels that way. Some of these delusional players that you see in this league have this kind of a mindset. Kevin Porter Jr. has that mindset. There were games at the end of the season when I was finally watching the Rockets. I'm like, wow, Jalen Green's been playing really well. I'm going to watch some because I want to watch Jalen Green. And the amount of times that Kevin Porter Jr. would just dribble the ball up the court and like totally ignore the fact that Jalen Green is on this team was way, 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 way too much. So I'm hoping that they get Paolo Banchero. I want that guy on this team. I want somebody who is an adult. Get rid of the children. Flush them down the drain. Throw them in the dumpster. Out. They got rid of one of them in Christian Wood. Get rid of Kevin Porter Jr. Those guys are not helping you in the future. They aren't. You aren't going to be good next year. You're not going to be good for a couple of years. Dump them. Get rid of them. You do not want guys like this on your team. And again, if you are of the mindset that losing Christian Wood was a bad thing for the Houston Rockets, I just feel like you don't understand basketball. Chemistry is an important thing. What have we learned over the last, what, decade with the Daryl Morey era? Chemistry matters. James Harden and Chris Paul didn't like each other. James Harden and Russell Westbrook didn't like each other once Russell Westbrook found out that James Harden didn't work hard. James Harden and Dwight Howard didn't like each other. There is a commonality in all of this, but imagine if James Harden was able to get along with any of these guys and they didn't get rubbed the wrong way by him too. Imagine if that happened. It is important. Yes, you want to acquire superstars. Neither of these guys are superstars. Neither of these guys are stars. Neither of these guys are really even like role players on good teams. Do you think either of these guys, Christian Wood, Kevin Porter Jr., would be playing in the NBA Finals? Do you think that they would actually be getting minutes? Yes, and I'm asking this about a team that features Peyton Pritchard as one of its leading players coming off of the bench. I'm actually serious about that. I would much rather have Peyton Pritchard coming into the game than those two. There are too many players like this in basketball. Absolute children who are immature, who quit in the middle of a game, who can't handle tough coaching, they can't handle tough love because they've had their ass kissed their whole life. But what happens when you've had your ass spanked six times and all of a sudden like you still can't get it? 26 years old. You're acting like Christian Wood, losing him is a big deal. Jesus. I'm only talking to a small amount of people, but you are annoying enough to me to like make me get up on my high horse here and say, I only want those who are mature to play in the NBA for my team. You don't want them touching Jalen Green. Nope. So happy trails to Christian Wood. I am glad you are gone. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Vanessa up in Indianapolis getting her eyes looked at. Coming up next on this radio program of ours. Do I have to talk about the NBA Finals? I'd much rather just continue to rant about Christian Wood and put my head in the sand about the fact that the Celtics are going to get eliminated tonight. I really would. You can roast me for my love of the Celtics coming up next. Also, as we take a look across the NFL, there actually is one story that I found that makes me happy about where the Texans are with one player. I know. Texans spin zone. Paul, what are you? Still at the flagship? Maybe. Am I a deep plant? I don't know. It is Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You can tweet me to @GallantSays on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Holly Rachel Worshipper says, the Rockets need to find John Wall a home. I forgot he's on the team. Imagine they trade John Wall and they probably have to trade like a first round pick to get rid of him. And people are like, they didn't get the value back in return for John Wall. You should be getting a lottery pick for John Wall.
He's a four-time All-Star.
Yeah, he was a former first overall pick. What are you doing? Sean and I were talking about this in the break. It is weird just looking at the way that first round picks are valued in the NBA because you have first off, what, 1 through 12 or lottery.
14,
thank you.
16 make the playoffs, the rest are lottery.
Hey, I got a 700 on the math part of my SAT, but yeah. This
was like 20 years ago
now. It was a bad moment. Jeez, oh, Sean, that was mean, okay?
Okay, 15.
Damn, it was. Holy crap, it's been Damn. Anyway, on the other side of things, look, there's an NBA Finals game tonight. It's game six. It's in Boston. It's the Celtics. It's the Warriors. And I have zero confidence in the Boston Celtics in this game. None. And maybe it's because Steph Curry played like ass in the last game, and I just assume he's going to be amazing in this one. And I suppose that there have been times in the past where a player goes nuclear for one game. I think it was like Ray Allen back in the, I don't know if it was the 2008 finals, maybe it was the 2010 finals, who had, I think, like eight threes in a game or something like that. And then the very next game, he also played very poorly. So it's possible for a guy who has an amazing game to not play well the rest of the series. But I mean, that's essentially what the Celtics need. And I just don't see Steph Curry having another game where he's 0 for 9. And a game where the Celtics also get the benefit of the upper hand officiating-wise. They got a lot of calls their way in that game that were suspect. And I know that there were some other moments, like Draymond Green like going on the bench and dry-humping Jason Tatum. Like that probably should have been a technical foul. But at the same time, the Celtics had so many opportunities at the free throw line and were getting way more foul calls than Golden State. And then they missed all their free throws. So you miss your free throws, you can't dribble, and Steph Curry goes 0 for 9. You lose by 10. I'm sorry. I don't know how I can look at this in any other way. And I get it. Boston's been resilient in the past. They were down 3-2 to Milwaukee. They were in moments against the Miami Heat looking like they weren't going to be able to win that series too. But I more think about a team that almost choked away Game 7 against the Miami Heat than I think about all those moments of resilience. This Boston team has overachieved this year in a Eastern Conference with teams dealing with all sorts of stuff. Brooklyn, like, oh, we haven't played together all season long. A bit of a weak excuse, but to their point, correct. Milwaukee was without Chris Middleton. Miami was with, you know, Bam Adebayo doing his, oh, yeah, I only play in half the games. I only show up for half the games deal. A banged up Jimmy Butler, who clearly was hurt, even though he was playing well at moments in that game. Who else was hurt? Tyler Hero was hurt in that one, too.
Kyle Lowry was a lot of, he'll warm up with the intent to play.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Kyle Lowry doesn't play anymore anyway. He just flops. He's like a more thick Raymond Felton at this point in his career. So, I mean, like, that's what they did. That's what they got through. And I know this Golden State team isn't anywhere close to the Golden State teams of the past, but yeah, Golden State's winning tonight. Bring it to the bank. Paul, you're saying you have to jinx the Warriors. I would never do such a thing. I am not superstitious. Except for the one time that I wore the Patriots sweater for 8 weeks in a row because they were on an 8-game winning streak. And then I stopped wearing it and wore a tux to a wedding. And the Patriots lost that game. Except for that one time. Okay, an NFL topic that actually does have me feeling good about the Texans, at least for now. It's a very small thing to feel good about. Cliff Kingsbury, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. And look, the Cardinals, they lost Christian Kirk this offseason to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who gave him a ridiculous contract. More on that in a moment. Traded for Marquise Hollywood Brown, Kyler Murray's best friend, when they found out that DeAndre Hopkins is going to be suspended for a large portion of the first half of the year, 6 games, because of a PED suspension. Hollywood Brown has 2 years remaining on his contract, but Cliff Kingsbury said that, yeah, we'd like to get an extension done. Hollywood is a guy that we see as a long-term answer. Imagine you just traded for Hollywood Brown, a first-round pick, even though Hollywood Brown's never really even proven that he's a definitive number two wide receiver, let alone a number one. Yes, statistically, you could say, oh, well, that's a guy I would like on my fantasy team based off of last year, but you watch him. Lots of drops, lots of issues with, I think, getting open deep. Not exactly the best receiver out there, and I don't think Baltimore quite knew how to use him, so you could argue, okay, well, now Hollywood Brown's with Cliff Kingsbury. It might be different, but, I mean, then think about that. Think about that statement that you would be reading to yourself if you said it. If the Cardinals give a contract to Marquise Hollywood Brown, I feel better about the Texans somehow convincing Brandon Cooks to come back on a 2-year, $39 million deal. I am still shocked that they were able to do that. Cooks is a better player than Hollywood Brown. He is. He has proven himself over the course of his career in the NFL. Is he a number one wide receiver? Like borderline. But he's definitely more of one than Hollywood Brown. And the Texans were able to keep this guy around somehow. I mean, that's a feather to put in your cap. Your cap is raggedy and looks like ass. But hey, put that feather in your cap because you are not going to be in any situation in the near future where you would like to give a guy like Hollywood Brown a long-term extension. And I feel that if anyone is drafting a wide receiver early on these days, you might have some good years with him. But considering the lack of volume that a wide receiver gets, would you want to give any of these guys the long-term kind of deals that they are now getting?
Tyreek Hill? Yeah, I think so. Devontae Adams? I don't know. DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona? I think I would, but I would not feel very good about it. And Hollywood Brown's probably going to get a ridiculous extension. And just think about how the receiver market was broken by what the Jaguars did this offseason, giving Christian Kirk that big deal. How the hell did the Texans figure out a way to keep Brandon Cooks on this deal? They are not a good team. They are getting a new head coach for the second time in 2 years. And here they are, three coaches in three seasons, technically four if you count Romeo Crennel as the interim head coach. And they kept this guy around, and they didn't have to give him a big-time deal when he probably could have asked for, at the very least, something comparative to what Christian Kirk got, something comparative eventually to what Hollywood Brown will get. God, I would hate to be a team that's looking at a wide receiver and a contract extension in the near future. 713-780-3776. Moon Cheese Wallace, you watch your mouth when you talk about Kyle Lowry when your Celtics flop and whine all the time. Yeah, I agree. I mean, everyone in the NBA does it right now, but the reason that I don't like it when Kyle Lowry does it is because me, a body shamer, I don't like the way Kyle Lowry's built. Sorry. I don't like it. You want to, you know, keep playing in the NBA? Eat less cookies, you know? A little self-control from here and there helps with that longevity. Anyway, whatever. That's fine. What else do we have here? Oh, yeah. Jerry Jones just delivered a bless your heart to the mayor of Dallas. Remember when the mayor of Dallas suggested, yeah, we could have two NFL teams here, which is just like a mindless statement by a likely mindless politician made to pander, I guess. I don't understand why you would ever make that statement. We could have two football teams here. Like, it's just a brain dead politician. These guys are so dumb when it comes to sports, which probably they should be. It does make you feel better. Like, imagine if there was a politician who knew like all of like the statistics of like the Houston Astros or something like that. Yeah, I know what Alex Bregman's batting average on Boston play is right now. His BABIP, not good enough. Like, if that was a Houston politician, you probably wouldn't feel good about it. But also, the guy who's the mayor of Dallas, I forget his name, but was like talking out of his ass about the idea that there could be two teams in Dallas. And Jerry Jones, I'm not going to like act like I like Jerry Jones or anything like that, but I do find him entertaining. He just gave the epitome of a bless your heart to the Dallas Morning News. Well, I like the mayor. I like him personally, but he doesn't have the depth. He doesn't have the knowledge that others have regarding how unique Dallas is and how we enjoy the interest in the Cowboys. He wouldn't want to water that down as it relates to Dallas if he knew as much and has spent as much time in sports as I have. That is the most polite way that you could ever basically tell someone to either A, bless your heart, or B, child please. Jerry Jones just told a mayor to child please. And guess what? Jerry Jones, oligarch, can do that. This is the country we live in these days. Paul, are you turning this radio station political? No, I'm just saying Jerry Jones can get away with that. Jerry Jones could probably have this mayor completely ousted for even suggesting the idea of a second team in Dallas.
Saying someone doesn't have the depth, that's one of those where, like, I'm not entirely sure what it means, but it feels very insulting.
Yeah.
But it's
it is just very insulting.
It's just nice enough or, like, not, like, explicit enough to where you're, like, not like, oh, my God.
It's bless your heart.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the depth. That's like, you're a brain-dead idiot.
But it's not your fault.
It's not your fault. You can't help being the, and imagine like Jerry Jones going like full heel and calling him the R word or something like that. Yeah, he's R worded. I mean, like that's essentially what he's saying here. Am I wrong? But he's saying it politely. But I bet behind closed doors, he'd be like, yeah, this guy's a bleeping, you know what? I'm like, whoa, Jerry, let's relax here. But I don't think he's wrong. This is like, those comments are just those that are made by brain-dead politicians who are trying to pander. But it's such a weird thing to pander over. What, are there like people in the polls that are like, we are frustrated with the Dallas Cowboys and we want an alternative. That is what we prioritize here in the city of Dallas, an alternative to the Cowboys. We don't care about history. An alternative is what we want. We want to have the Los Angeles Clippers in our town. You know? We want the Los Angeles Chargers. We want the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Notice all these teams are from LA. We want the New York Islanders. We want the New York Jets. Like, no. No. No one wants that. But funny to see Jerry Jones give a very polite version of bless your heart. All right. Coming up next, we wrap up the show with our garbage time. And this manager has called himself the Grim Reaper. Why did he act differently than he has in the past last night? Yes, it was an immaculate couple of innings for the Astros, but there was almost history made in another ballpark. And this guy, he allowed it to happen, even though traditionally he likes to stop that. I'll tell you who that is next.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We do have some somewhat breaking news, and this is in baseball. This is from Evan Drellick, who used to cover the Houston Astros right here in town, now a baseball writer for The Athletic. Rob Manfred, at the end of the owners' meetings press conference, said he did not see the automated strike zone, quote, as a competition committee issue for this year. So it's not coming to baseball in 2023. There you go. So we might see it at some point, but automated strike zone, not happening in the near future. So what happens when you can't bust a union, okay? Big Blue, the umpires union, standing in the way of progress. Someone needs to racketeer the union.
What is it about unions with the color blue that they're just unbreakable?
Unbelievable, dude. I don't get it.
They're like the two strongest ones we have in America are umps and cops.
And you know what you got to do here in this situation? I can't speak for the police officer side of things, okay? But I will speak for the umpires. Based off of all of the movies that I have seen, if you hire a bunch of Italian gangsters to break the mob, it works. So that's from watching The Sopranos. That's history, Sean. Stop laughing. That's from Goodfellas, okay? That is from The Godfather Part 1 and 2. That is from A Bronx Tale. Hire some Italian gangsters. Boom. It's over.
Hey, forget about it. Don't worry about it anymore. It's over. Hey, gabagoo.
All right. The Los Angeles Dodgers were under some fire earlier this year. Remember when Clayton Kershaw was pitching a perfect game? My manager, Dave Roberts, pulled him from the game in the seventh inning. That's actually something that Dave Roberts has done before with a pitcher by the name of Rich Hill. Rich Hill, on September 10th of 2016, had gone seven innings and 89 pitches. He was in the midst of a perfect game. He was pulled. Dave Roberts has done this twice, but for some reason, Tyler Anderson, who had a no-hitter going into the ninth inning, despite throwing 120-something pitches, was actually allowed to pitch in the ninth inning. So Dave Roberts, I thought, had a very weak-ass explanation for why he allowed Tyler Anderson to continue pitching when he decided to pull both Rich Hill and Clayton Kershaw from the games in the midst of perfect games.
I just felt that here and that opportunity. So a lot of times I kind of just look at it each individual situation. And I know I've got this reputation as a grim reaper, but I'm a sports fan too. And I wanted that just as much as I really felt I wanted that just as much as Tyler and his teammates wanted that for him.
Are baseball writers' lives so boring that anything that is a remote approach at humor causes a laugh?
I know some people call me the grim reaper.
I mean, Dave Roberts hates those writers. Those writers probably hate Dave Roberts. Like, they were going to have a great byline to write back in the day. Perfect game. I'm going to mount this on my mantle. The newspaper print edition of Clayton Kershaw's perfect game write-up. I was a part of history, too. I made deadline in time to write about a perfect game. Take that. Insert random other baseball writer. Yeah, you weren't on the beat that game, but I was. So a no-hitter almost happened, and Dave Roberts allowed it to happen. And the reason that he allowed it to happen is because an inordinate chunk of scheduled off days meant that Anderson had an extra day of rest. That's why Anderson got to keep pitching, because also it's going to allow him to make his next start with two extra days of rest. So load management in baseball continues to be a thing that is used frequently, and it's kind of annoying. I got to say, we need more guys that are going 120 pitches. What happened to the blue-collar
working class pitcher. Now they're up in their ivory towers, driving their Rolls Royces around town, throwing change at the homeless. I remember a time when a pitcher would actually go, you know, pitch for a 40-win season, and they would throw nine innings every single day. Remember Cy Young? That's a real American, a working-class American. Pitchers now? Ivory tower. You know, we talk about the wage gap. We talk about just really the divide in our country. And pitchers are the perfect example of it. It's guys who work like once of every 5 days. You know what? I know Elon Musk has been under fire for like telling people at Twitter that they have to come to work more than 1 day a week. Well, how about pitchers come to work more than 1 day a week, huh? Ooh, look at me. I'm Justin Verlander. I'm not going to show up for an entire season with the Houston Astros. Yeah, the divide continues. This has been Paul Gallant. Somehow turns this into a political talk on the Vanessa and Gallant radio program. All right, it's time to wrap things up with garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
E315702 on Twitch. Pictures now. Skinny jeans? Man buns? Teslas? Not a reflection of the American working class. I agree with you there. It's just not the same. Not the same. All right, garbage time. So George Washington University, you might know, is a school, I believe it's in the greater D.C. area. They have been nicknamed the Colonials. You would think that they would be just the, if you're going to be the George Washington U, why not be the George Washington U Washingtons, right? Or the George Washington U Georgies or something like that. But instead, despite their mascot being George Washington, they are the George Washington, Colonials. So, can't be Colonials in 2022. Honestly, way more offensive than the Washington R words or the Cleveland I words, in my honest opinion, because colonialism is the worst. Thanks, the British. The United States has never done that, ever. Not once in their history. Anyway, the Colonials no longer inbounds. What are they going to change their nickname to? The favorite, Hippos. The George Washington University Hippos. Now, a lot of people might not be offended by this, but I am. Because hippos attack more people than sharks, than bees. Fatally, I'm talking here. Hippos are mean sons of you-know-whats. You want to talk about body-shaming animals? They're just fat blobs, and they'll attack you in a boat. They don't care. They are mean. And they are overrunning Colombia because of Pablo Escobar, who brought them in, like, I guess to be his pets. Honestly, pretty intimidating to have that, like, on your giant estate. Oh, there's a bunch of hippos, and they attack any humans that they see. Now they've just gone rampant and have, you know, had all sorts of sex out in the wild, and now they've overrun, like, Colombia, I guess. But the hippos, that's going to be the new nickname of George Washington U. Sean Mapes, thoughts?
I like it because I think there should be more animal mascots than just tigers, lions, different birds. Like, give me hippos. Give me sharks. Why does any shark given attacks. Sunday only have the sharks as a mascot?
It is surprising that there, in all of American sports, the San Jose Sharks are the only shark nickname.
And there's 10,000 different birds.
There's no orcas nickname either.
Orcas, killer whale.
I mean, killer, but see, killing, you know.
Killer whale.
How have orca whales not been canceled for being called killer whales? Like, what was up with that?
I think because, they are vicious. I was going to say, isn't it a misnomer? But no, they are vicious.
No, they're
more vicious than sharks.
Yes. Did you know what orca whales do to great white sharks? Orca whales, well, no, they will eat, specifically, they will kill great white sharks and they will just eat their livers and they will just leave them. That's it. Seriously, they will somehow, which is incredible to think about, just considering how big these animals are. They will kill a great white shark and eat its liver and then just leave it there. This is happening all over the place. What else do we have here in garbage time? We have some more that we'll be able to get to tomorrow. Ooh, this is great. Guess what, guys? China, in a since-deleted tweet, announced that they have discovered aliens. Give or take.
I don't think countries should be allowed to delete tweets.
No, I don't either.
If you're coming from your company account. or your country account.
Yes. So their state media, I guess, which deleted this somehow. I don't know how you do that. But they announced via state media that they may have detected signals from alien civilization. And this just keeps me thinking about why the hell we have actual scientists out there who are putting on a beacon into the universe that is hopefully going to make contact with sentient life. Why would we ever do this? No, do not bring the aliens here. First off, disease. Second off, they will kill us all. We all know this. Why would we want this? Anyway, I am really Paul Gallant. Vanessa, we hope we'll be back tomorrow. Vanessa and Gallant. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass, the texters, the callers, and everyone who listened. Up next, it's the Killer Bees. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Thursday.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.